Hello.
Why you gotta do it so creepy?
I don't know. What else are we supposed
to make it a creepy?
What else are we supposed to do, man?
Maybe sounds actually like make an introduction.
Yeah, we could make an introduction. Yeah. Hello, hello.
Just record it, and then that'll save us a few words.
Yeah, pretty much. Welcome to Section 119 Sports, the Aggie Sports podcast, where we talk all things Aggie sports.
I thought you were going to make up a tagline for us there, something else that we actually need. So,
yeah. Welcome to Aggie Sports, where we kind of get depressed when we talk about football and basketball and happy about everything else.
Yeah.
It doesn't have much ring to it. Anyways, I'm Daniel Hansen. I'm joined here by
Jaden Johnson
and Trevor Porth.
We're going to come at you live. Well, not live, whenever you're listening to this right
it's
now.
Live for us.
Yeah, live for us. There you go. Just talking all thing Aggie sports, and this is going to be, I don't want to say interesting, but kind of different, because now we're in the time of the year where there's not really much basketball or really any basketball, and the only football we have is spring practice rumors and stuff.
And we will give you a little bit of football, just a little spoonful here towards the end, but yeah, as Daniel said, basketball's done, thank goodness. Football, not really a ton to talk about, so but tons of other Aggie sports doing spectacular things right now. I saw like a discussion like on a website which I won't name, but it's where a lot of Aggie fans go and talk about Aggie sports.
Is it Aggie fans of Aggies, or is it fans of like USU?
Mostly USU fans that go on there.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a while back, and it was saying like, is this the worst time to ever be a fan of Utah State, or like, is this like our worst period in athletics history? No! Are you kidding me?
Even if it's just football and basketball, I don't think so.
Even then, I mean,
at least maybe? we're in a better conference and we have a pretty nice stadium.
Yeah, like there, I can see like the discussion there, but like, I guess if those are the only things you watch, but like, the athletics program as a whole, those are just the only two things really weighing us down. Like, men's basketball and football. Everything else is probably, like, if you take those two out, the athletics program is probably in the best shape it's ever been.
Like, literally. Honestly, kind of looking
literally.
At it,
like,
we
I
might,
wouldn't.
Again, you have to disregard basketball and football, which
yeah,
is kind of really hard to disregard, but and we might be the best athletics program right now in the Mountain West.
And, like, I get why fans.
Look at everything.
Exactly. I get why fans don't pay much attention to some of the other sports. I get it. That's how I was for a long time. I really couldn't care less about some of these other sports. But if your Aggie fandom is waning right now, which I know many people's is, get out, support these other teams, and you'll change your mind.
Yeah, like for this year, we have the highest ever ranked tennis team to ever be. We have the quickest, you know, the best wins out of 20 games for softball. And they're continuing to win, except for one little hiccup on Sunday. But
and a top 25 gymnastics team.
Yeah, and that you know that's
even that's like women's tennis is doing pretty well for where the program is right now.
And then a track All-American.
Yeah,
like literally every other sport.
Hockey went to nationals killing just it. A couple weeks ago.
Women's soccer, one of the I mean, given that's a, this a fall sport and we're mostly talking spring, but like women's soccer, one of the best seasons they've ever had.
So I mean, pretty much Aggie sports right now is a like. Let's make a deal game show where you have like 10 doors.
The showcase two, showdown?
Yeah, something like showcase showdown. And like behind like two of those doors, there's a pile of crap that we just don't really, that we're forced to like take because we like it's the biggest one. But I mean, it's not enjoyable. Behind every other door, though, is like a pile of gold or a brand new car or like Scarlett Johansson or something of that nature. So I mean,
let me guess, that's the gymnastics team?
We are not that kind of podcast, Jaden. But, I mean, seriously, like, looking through Aggie sports right now, like, if you want success, if you want to see still some very impressive feats of athleticism, there's plenty of that going on at Utah State. So let's kind of just go.
Let's title this podcast, Two Heaping Piles of Crap Behind Doors on Price is Right.
I don't think that's very representative of what we're going to talk about for the rest of the
You're right, because we're not going to talk about the piles of crap.
We'll talk about one pile of crap for a little bit. We'll dissect a little bit of crap.
Let's start this thing with just a phenomenal feat that was done by the women's gymnastics team.
That's the best place to start. I mean, biggest news for Aggie sports, you've got a couple things going on right now, but I think number one, gymnastics going to the Seattle Regionals as a four seed, which I think is their high seed in at least some time, and then also placing second in the Mountain Rim Gymnastics Conference Championships.
And most everyone expected Boise State to win that, which they did.
Well, they got like a 197. That's, and you're not beating that.
And then, you know, like they said they would be pretty close for Utah State and Southern Utah to take the, you know, second and third, and then pretty much expected BYU to be number four. But
well, here's the thing is with we've talked a little bit about the conference. It's just the four teams. It's Utah State, BYU, Boise State, Southern Utah. Boise State, big-time powerhouse. They're a top 10 gymnastics team. Right now I think 11, but like they spent pretty much the whole season top 10. Unbelievable team. Some of the they've got some Olympian gymnasts on their team, and then there's Southern Utah, who's already beat us twice this year, and done so pretty handily. So everyone kind of expected Southern Utah is going to take second place here, and they were sitting at number 19, needing to jump up to 18 to drastically help their chances in regionals. So they had no reason not to come out and kill it. Then there was Utah State and BYU, who Utah State's beat BYU three times already this year. Well, that was the third time, but it was supposed to be a little bit close. Between those three teams, it should have been close. Utah State came out, awesome score. They got 196.1, and they took second place in the thing. And now, as Daniel said, they're going to head up to Seattle.
And like, but one thing about the you're saying, you know, Southern Utah beat Utah State twice this year before this Mountain Rim Championships. The second time, though, how much of that was of they win because of Utah State falling twice off the beam or three times off the beam? If they could at least kept on the beam and not fallen off, you know, that would have been a pretty close match. And
it's
Utah State
Beach,
but probably could have won.
They also wiped Utah State pretty handily at Southern Utah.
I think really kind of summing it up there, there's two conferences in the nation that sent all the members of its conference to regionals. The SEC, which has some amazing gymnastics programs, and the Mountain Rim Gymnastics Conference. And Utah State just placed second in that conference. So, I mean, yeah, Utah State kind of maybe hurt themselves with some falls earlier in the season against Southern Utah. But this is still a really impressive feat, regardless of how you look at it. Even though it was pretty much a home meet for them, and they had all that advantage, I guess, they still came out, delivered a really good routine on all four stages, or all four legs. What's the term there?
Events.
I should know that. I do know that, but rotations. That's
that,
the word.
Is that the word you're looking for?
Yeah. And then come out
the terminology.
With a really nice 196.1, I think, for the meet, which was a really high score
good
for
score.
The year.
It was their third highest of the season.
Yeah, so I mean...
Now, I want to set the stage just a little bit for you. So... We're saying Utah State's going to regionals. That probably doesn't mean anything to you. Utah State, so 36 teams in the country will go to regionals. Utah State currently sitting at number 24 in the country, obviously gets an invite to regionals. No surprise there. I mean, there was really no question that they were going to get invited to a regional. Things really worked out well in Utah State's favor, though, if you look at it this way. Only two of the six teams at each regional, so there's six regionals, six teams each, 36. So of the six teams at each regional, two move on to the national championship for a total of 12. Utah State is seeded with the number one team in the country, Oklahoma. Unbelievable gymnastics team. Far and away the best team in the country. So, like,
just being
sure,
able
this,
to go
this
up
seems,
against that is
this
a,
seems like bad news.
Positive,
yeah, this seems like bad news off the get-go. No, it's not, because Oklahoma, obviously, they're going to be one of the teams going to nationals. Other than that, though, Utah State is the fourth seed. Number two and three is Kentucky and Washington.
They're ranked number 12
and 13. That's number 12 and 13. Those are very good teams that obviously are expected to, one of those two is expected to win over Utah State at number 24. However, the average of both of these teams on the season, Kentucky's averaging a 196.3, just over 196.3, as is Washington. They're both just over 196.3. Utah State's high meet on the season was a 196.3. So they're going to have their work cut out for them. They're going to have to probably get a 196.4 or 5. But that's not undoable. You know, that's something that they could certainly do. And given Kentucky and Washington, they've both hit much higher marks as well. That's just their average. But Utah State really drew a good card there, and like, it's obviously a long shot, but it's less of a long shot than it may seem for them to make the national championship.
Here's a really good way to like give the Aggies, or give yourself hope that the Aggies could actually pull this off. Number 14 in the nation right now is a team we've actually faced before this year, Nebraska. We beat Nebraska when we played them. We're in a try meet with, I think, Southern New Hampshire with them. Or actually, I think New Hampshire. Southern New Hampshire is an online university.
New Hampshire.
But, I mean, Utah State was able to play with them. You look at some of the other teams that are in the top 20. UCLA is number 5, and we actually hung with them for quite a while at UCLA. Boise State, of course, we know how it's gone with them so far this year. And then looking throughout, California is number 16. Southern Utah's number 18.
Gymnastics is an every single meet is totally different and independent from the other meet kind of thing. And with each of those teams having an average or slightly below average day, and Utah State having a good day, seriously, very good chance for them.
I also like noticed that Utah State also tends to, you know, play to their peers. You know, if they're playing better teams, they do better also. And another good reason this is a good pairing for us, a good place to go, is we have another chance to down BYU.
Yeah, you're right, because BYU is the 5th seed, and
they're 6th actually.
6th behind Stanford. Seed.
Yeah,
let's
they
be
barely
honest.
Sneaked in.
We're gonna beat BYU again
for the 4th time this year.
So that's great. I don't know if there's betting lines on this, but I imagine Utah State would be a pretty big underdog to make it to nationals. What I'm saying is, go to Vegas. Cash it in.
Two things there. One, this is probably like, equating to March Madness, this is probably like a 13-4 matchup or 14-3 matchup, you think?
Yeah.
For Utah State being 13 or 14. Second of all, if you're betting on college women's gymnastics, you got major problems. Like, let's just be honest there. You got major problems. Get some help.
I'm just saying, you want to make some money, like.
At the very least, I just kind of pulled up the scores for the top 25 here. That's how I got that list of all the schools that Utah State's played this year. At the very least, you're going to see some high-quality gymnastics. Let's have some fun here. What do you think Oklahoma's high score for this season is?
I already know it's over 198. I'm going to say 198.35.
198.35. Perfect score on all rotations is 200. So that means going through uneven bars, vault, beam, and then floor, they got deducted 1.65 points.
Oklahoma's out of this world. Well, and then you look at like other team like UCLA, who Utah State has gone up against earlier this season. They're right up there towards that as well. They've got an Olympic gold medalist on their team. Like, there's some really high level competitors in college gymnastics. As I mentioned, Boise State, when they were in the Spectrum, you know, they have two Olympians on their team that were in Rio a couple of years ago. One girl who finished like top 20 on the bars. So,
also kind of going along with that, UCLA has the third highest score this year, or like team high. They had 198.125. So Utah State still might have a chance there. We'll see. They probably won't beat Oklahoma, but I mean, they're up in Seattle. So if you want to take a trip,
which is bad news. Excellent. The one thing is that does kind of hurt Utah State being in Seattle because Washington is there. So it's practically a home meet for them, but
it is, but I mean, we'll see.
We've probably talked more gymnastics than you ever hoped to hear in a podcast,
but that's because they're the best.
But right, that's now, because they're killing it. They deserve some credit. Like, they're killing it.
They deserve 10 minutes
and,
for 1 week.
Good luck on April 1st to the Utah State gymnastics team in Seattle at regionals.
And that is not a April Fool's joke. It is on April 1st.
We hope
it'll be an April Fool's joke when we beat Oklahoma.
Ooh,
oh snap!
Imagine that.
Oh, that'd be sick. Anyway,
that we'll have a celebratory podcast just for that.
Devote at least 12 minutes to gymnastics. Anyways, there's some other sports that we need to get over to that also deserve maybe 10 minutes of fame this week. Okay, we've had this discussion before on who's like the best Olympic sport at Utah State. I think softball might be staking a claim to that right now.
I don't think they're there yet, but they're working on it.
They're pretty,
didn't softball
pretty
get dropped
from
the Olympics,
close,
though?
Actually, I think baseball did.
Baseball and softball are both out as of now, but I've heard there's actual talks of putting them back in like 2020, eight or six, whatever.
It's a travesty. Put them in. Come on. What do we need?
Okay, when I say Olympic sports, I just mean not football or basketball.
Do we seriously need archery in the Olympics, but not softball?
Yeah.
I mean,
dude, we need archery, man.
They don't have softball in there.
Do we need rowing in the Olympics,
but not softball?
The best
part about Olympics is when you just turn on the TV and it's just like some random event. Like seriously, the best event I've ever seen for Olympics, and I'm not kidding with this, was kayaking at the London Olympics in 2012. Like, I'm dead serious, man. It was like whitewater kayaking, and it was sick. I wanted to do it, or else, but I would have died if I tried.
Let's start a campaign. Put softball back in the dang Olympics.
I think curling's better.
If Utah State, or if softball was back in the Olympics, they would just take the Utah State softball team. That's how good they're doing. Not really.
Not really, but we do have one player that's possibly going to be going to a camp to get on the Canadian Olympic team. So, I mean, you're not completely wrong.
Anyway, the team is killing it. They're doing really, really well. I just barely lost the page that I had their overall record pulled up, but it's a really good one.
It is really good. It's this weekend was like, it was a 2-1 weekend for them. So, I mean,
yeah.
Drop their record or percentage a little bit, but I mean
18-6 overall.
18-6, doing some quick math.
Best start in school history.
They're 750 win percentage right now. So
there
I mean,
we go, Daniel, statistician, right here.
Dude, 18-6. It's just 3/4.
That's stats 10/40.
Isn't it? No, wait, no, it is 10/40.
Anyway, as Daniel said, they went 2-1 over the weekend. They beat UNLV so bad on Friday, it went to mercy rule. Utah State won 10-2, and they called it after five innings. Saturday, they came out, won 6-2 after a six-run fourth inning. And Sunday, a little bit less fortunate. They put in a less experienced pitcher, and she gave up six runs in the top of the first inning. Then Utah State really tried their hardest to come back through the rest of the game, but they lost 8-5. But really not a bad start.
I mean,
like, for that, those were the first three games of Mountain West play, so Utah State sitting at 2-1 in Mountain West play, still towards the top, and UNLV was supposed to be like, if you look at the preseason coaches poll and you look at like the overall points, they were picked like very, very closely to us, and USU just really dominated them through most of the weekend, all except for one inning, really.
And that, you know, that Sunday game was kind of like the resting players, and you know, so it's kind of like the, you know, it's okay for the Cavs to lose by 30 when they're resting their three best players. So.
I mean, you kind of look at it like with those sports where you're playing like 30 or 40 games a season, it kind of like the main rule that a lot of people go by is you're going to have like 3, 4, 5 eggs that you lay in that season. So, I mean, that was probably an egg that Utah State laid. But, I mean, it's going to happen for a program like this right now.
And I feel like it's more about just taking the series. And they did. They had already secured the series. They had already 2-0 in a three-game series.
That's completely true. You look at like just – MLB is maybe not the best comparison, but you look at even that, the best teams are like 160 on a season. So, I mean, even the Cubs are losing 60 times.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly.
It ain't something to be worried about, especially when you look at the overall record. You win anything 18 out of 24 times, you're going to be in a pretty good spot. You're going to be a pretty good team.
Well, and I'm going to put in another plug here. I am not a baseball guy. I'm not a softball guy. Like, I love watching anything Aggie related. I could, you know, so of course I'm going to get out and support them. I love watching the Aggies, but I'm not a big baseball guy. Utah State has one of the best offenses in the country as far as hitting percentage. Like, I believe they're number 11 in the country, and home runs, they're really, really good. Stealing bases, one of the top teams in the country. So, like, this is a really fun team to watch, even if you're not too much into baseball or softball. They're really fun to watch. Tons of home runs, tons of stolen bases, tons of huge plays on offense, and pretty good defensively as well. So
at this point, we need to put in a warning to our listeners that if you do go to a game, do not bring your kids or else they might get beamed with a massive softball.
And park far away from the stadium. Like I'm dead serious because they slug them, man. Like, they
park at like
don't drive
below
by,
Old Main.
Don't drive by Lurie in the Grand Johnson Field on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday afternoon. Because you got a pretty good shot that your car's going to get beamed.
Solid advice.
Anyway, Utah State, they got a doubleheader coming up on Wednesday against Utah Valley. Utah Valley's kind of like an interesting situation because we already beat them 2-6. UNLV beat them 2-7. And we showed that we're pretty much on the same level or better than UNLV pretty easily. So it's a game that we should win. but they started the season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0, and 8. So they started on an 8-game losing streak. Since then, they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 out of 10. So really hot team right now, coming up to Logan for a doubleheader on Wednesday. That's 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
You know, they don't play the full 7 innings on those, but still can get out there and just, you know, have a lot of sunshine and.
Yeah, at the very least, baseball places have the best concessions.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been to NFL, been to NBA. NBA might be different now because apparently the Jazz got R&R barbecue for next season, which I'm stoked about.
Kansas City Chiefs had some pretty good concessions.
Okay, NFL might be its own thing. But if you just, like, judge, like, baseball concessions to, like, football and basketball to, like, the entirety of it, so going through all of them, baseball might be the best because it's also you get, like, a good hot dog. And baseball is, like, the best because you're not worried about really missing a ton when you go to get your concessions as well. So, I mean,
you might get hit with a ball. But
you might, at Utah State. That's a risk I'm willing to take to get a hot dog. So
also Saturday, $2 hot dogs at Utah State.
Ooh,
no, seriously though, it's a really good environment. Me and Trevor at most of the games. If you tune in on Wednesday, you'll hear both of our voices on the broadcast doing play by play for that. But so we're at most of the games, and like there's always a good crowd. Like when it's nice out, there's a good crowd. There's people out laying out blankets on the lawn. Getting some good concessions, getting hit with balls, you know, it's always a good time.
People nice love grassy getting hit knoll. With balls. Yeah. Anyways, the one bad thing, I think, with having a bunch of really good Olympic sports like this is sometimes you have to kind of choose which one you're going to go to. And this Saturday is going to be one of those situations because you have softball who's going to be doing their softball things.
On the road, actually.
Oh, they're on the road?
You're in the clear.
Oh, snap. Okay, never mind. There goes my parlay, or my segue is the correct terminology into a
parlay.
I'm still on Vegas terms, okay? But anyways, as I was saying, you could listen to you. That just totally dropped. Men's tennis is also playing on Saturday.
That's a better segue.
There we go. That was a terrible segue. My segue just, like, crashed and then, like, fell into the pool.
I hope you don't actually have a segue.
Dude, I wish I had a segue. Actually, I saw, like, one of those advertisements for, like, those, like, traveling suitcases for when you're in the airport. I want one of those so freaking bad.
I don't know what that is.
It's a suitcase, but then you can charge it up, and then when you get to the airport, you can sit on it and drive that around the airport, and it goes, like, 8 miles an hour.
Have you ever seen WALL-E?
That's not even.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
I know where you're going with this, but that's not luggage. Those are floating, like, massage chairs.
People are walking less and less, and I don't think it's a good thing.
You might be true, but man, can you imagine, like, just riding around on your little travel size luggage around the airport? That'd be so much more fun than having just, like, sit there on the moving sidewalks.
Also, I hate that movie, but.
That is another topic so entirely.
We got men's tennis this Saturday.
Men's yeah.
What else was there? Is that all you think was a men's tennis and softball?
Really, as far as home events, all it is Wednesday doubleheader with softball and then Saturday tennis.
Yeah, so tennis,
that's it this week.
Highly recommend coming out to this match because, one, the men's tennis team is actually really fun to watch. Like, kind of like Gene said, like, I was kind of one of those guys, didn't care too much about other sports. Like, I'd always, like, liked watching it occasionally when it was, like, the U.S. Open or maybe like the Masters or something like that. Those are super fun. The Olympics, of course. But then I went to a couple men's tennis matches. They are freaking fun because, one, you have like 6 matches going at one time. So even if one's like a blowout, you have 5 others that could be good.
Right.
Unless you're at the sports academy, there's only 4 going on at once.
Still, even then, you got 3 going that you could still follow. But the cool part about it is when the team is, like, finished with, like, one of their matches, they come over to the fans, and they just start watching from there. So, like, you get, like, you're just, like, sitting there, and, like, all of a sudden, oh, the guy that just finished his match, like, a 3-hour, like, marathon, is now just, like, sitting right there cheering on, like, the last guy going for the, like, match point.
The real question, though, is what are the concessions like?
At Sports Academy or
the Sports
probably
Academy for
or
USU
if they have
status.
Outdoor, it's bring your own. It's so right, BYOC. Bring your own concessions.
So right now for the Saturday matchup, is it rain or shine? Like, does it depend on
I think from now on it's pretty much going to be rain or shine. They say, like, for the one this past weekend, they just went, completed a just epic sweep of both Pacific and Idaho here at home.
Killed them.
Didn't lose a single one of the matches. 7-0 swept on doubles each. Points. Swept even like 7-0, Idaho.
4-0.
Yeah, Idaho, they played every match till the end, and they won every single one of them. And they Idaho did have the, I think, Western Athletic Conference Player of the Year last year.
Whack.
Yeah, take it for what it's worth. But, I mean, this is a fun team to watch, and they're starting conference play this week.
So, tell me something. You're the resident men's tennis expert here for Utah State. Is San Diego State any good?
No.
Sweet. So, another win.
They last year, they finished, I think, fourth in the conference. There's eight teams. But they finished, like, I think they were, like, 4-4 in conference play. And then they were, like, I think 5-11 overall or something like that. Or just not a really good record.
It's a pretty good shot.
They technically are leading the conference right now because they beat Boise State. That's only because that's the only conference game that's been played so far for men's tennis. Utah State, of course, they went 7-1 last year in conference play. Regular season champs. Lost to Fresno State, I think, in the finals in the tournament. They should win it this year, I think. You look at what they've done, what they built. They're the only program in the Mountain West that's actually been ranked at all this year. They've got just loads of talent all across their roster or lineup, whatever you want to call it. So if you want some good tennis and you want to see some more wins this Saturday,
BYOC to the Sports Academy, probably, since it's probably going to rain.
Hey, actually, if we're going to kind of be technical here, if it is outside, the courts are right across the street from Aggie Ice Cream.
Well,
so actually,
so they do have concessions.
That might be the best concession stand.
I hope it's nice.
All sports.
Oh, they got this thing. It's called a Super Dave.
Is that the hot dog?
It's like a hot dog that has pulled pork and cheese.
I remember that.
Oh my gosh, maybe I'm going there for dinner.
I might just go there
it's
for ice cream.
It's almost dinner time. Anyway,
so to go along with your thinking of, you know, but between which sport to watch, there kind of is another thing going on this Saturday, but it's not nearly NCAA sanctioned, but both the men's and women's rugby will be holding sevens tournaments. And if you've ever seen sevens rugby, that's a pretty it's a fast-paced
it's rugby. Like, it's like the FIBA of the FIBA basketball championships of rugby. Would you say that?
Well, seven, it's like instead of having 15 people on the full-size field, there's seven. So they usually have like, and it's like 14-minute half, so they'll tend to have, you know.
It's like the Arena Football League of football.
Or of rugby.
Of rugby.
No, not really, because it's the same field. The field's opened up because there's only seven instead of.
It's the NBA All-Star game of rugby.
Yeah, I guess.
Except there's defense.
Yes. But anyway, rugby, sevens rugby is pretty fun to watch if you don't know what's going on, and there's plenty of there are people there that you could kind of ask. And
rugby, I think, is like one of those sports that it's like it's really simple. Like there's a couple like intricate rules, I guess, that you need to kind of like be clued in on when they happen. But for the most part, it's, hey, you take this really weird egg-shaped ball, get it over there and run some people over while you do it.
And don't so, pass it
easy
forward.
To understand. Uh-huh. Fun to watch. I agree with that. A good way to spend a Saturday.
How are the rugby teams doing this year? Like, are they supposed to be any good, Trevor?
They're doing okay. They haven't really started too much for their spring season so far. They both did go to Las Vegas just before the men's basketball team did, and they did a tournament down there. Both went, I think they both won their opening matches and then kind of fell from there, but they weren't the best ones in there because they were playing teams that were like ranked number 1, 2, 3, 4.
So what you're saying is we probably wouldn't beat the All Blacks team.
Probably not, but Utah State women's has been.
They would beat the All Blacks?
They would. They were like number 3 in their conference in the fall. And men's was number 4 behind, you know, a bunch of people that were ranked in the top 25.
What about, could they beat that high school rugby team from that movie with Frodo or Sean? Sam?
Invictus, the one
no,
from
Frodo's,
South?
No, Frodo's, it's got Samwise Gamgee in it.
I don't know that rugby movie. I just know Invictus, that's it.
There's Invictus.
Like Rudy, you know Rudy.
And then there's,
but not football.
There's also the one about the Highland High School.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's got Sam.
Oh, the guy with the team with the Mormon.org guy?
What?
There was like, okay, this really dates me with LDS kind of stuff, but there was like, there's some Mormon on the Highland football team that had one of those I'm a Mormon videos that church people try and shove down your throat. So, anyways.
That's what we're talking about.
Back to Trevor.
Could they beat that team? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know.
Okay, good answer.
Welcome to Section 119, where we just don't know what we're doing.
Would Hollywood want them to beat them or not? Because...
No, Hollywood would not, and neither would Dave Hall.
Let's not talk that. We're not talking that. Let's talk something else. We got a couple minutes left here.
And like, kind of like rugby, you know, there's a sport that evolved from rugby that we can go to talk about right now.
And we're going to go there as much.
Good transition. I mean,
better
what did you call it?
Better segue than mine. No.
What did you call it?
Oh, though? Parlay.
Better parlay than
that's
Dan,
a really good parlay, Trevor. Let's use that parlay and go talk football for a second. We actually had some football news this
news
past
breaking
week.
Today, actually, yeah. On Twitter, Cade Smith announced he's transferring.
So, the first question we have to answer with that, who the F is Cade Smith?
Okay, that's not fair. That's not fair. Cade,
it's not
if,
fair,
if
but...
If you're an avid Utah... if you just go to the games, then yeah, you wouldn't have a clue because... Cade Smith is a kid who gray-shirted, I believe, and then red-shirted. So he's been at Utah State for a couple of years, but has never even been eligible to go into a game or, like, been considered to put into a game. But Cade Smith, like, he was a guy that I was actually really excited for Utah State to pick up a couple of years ago, being one of the top-ranked quarterbacks in all of Oregon. He had some nice other offers. He has all kinds of Oregon State records. And I was like, man, sweet, this guy... I mean, this is, of course, back when I was thinking Kent Myers is going to take us to the national championship or something of the sort.
Yeah.
Not really, but I was thinking, like, okay, he's going to be sweet because he'll be like a sophomore right once Kent Myers is graduating. He'd be a great fit to just throw right into that system, but alas,
apparently
he's out of here.
He got sick and tired of color shirting it for the past couple years, I guess.
He didn't want a blue shirt.
Apparently not, but I mean... Pretty much he was kind of like Henry Columbia a couple years ago, maybe. Like, he was that recruiter. Like, everybody's like, hey, that's a really good recruit. He might do something. And again, just announced he's transferring today. Who knows where? But he is from Oregon. And according to his Twitter, he still loves Oregon. So you never know. Gary Anderson might be looking at a QB or somebody else here
maybe
on the West Coast.
Go fill in for Alex Caressa at Portland State.
I was thinking more Eastern Washington, maybe, but
we'll see. He said to be announced, so I don't know if he knows yet, or I mean, he probably has some idea, but I'm sure we'll find out soon. Good luck to Cade Smith. I wish that things could have worked out here, but obviously there's a log jam at the quarterback position. Like, there's no secret there. Unfortunately, none of them are apparently good enough to overthrow Kent Myers, but there's a lot of them.
See, that's the question I kind of want to hear posed that we can each answer. We have, I think, four quarterbacks or five quarterbacks that are going to be on the roster next year. We've got Kent Myers, of course, and then we got
Love.
DJ Nelson is maybe behind him with Jordan Love. And then you got Damien Hobbs, so six. And then you got Henry Columbia, and Jamal Evans was technically a QB athlete recruit kind of guy. So you got six QBs. You guys, let's each put ourselves in the position of Matt Wells here. We're head coach. How the heck do we sort through this? Like,
well,
I mean, looking right now, you're probably going to have to start Kent Myers just because nobody else looks either ready or able to take over.
The first thing you have to do, and this is what every single Aggie fan in the world has said, so I know I'm like not like coming at you with anything revolutionary. The first thing is he needs to set any loyalties, any alliance or like personal love that he has for any of these players entirely aside. I don't know that Kent Myers isn't the best quarterback that is on the team. He may be our best option. I'm just saying, I really hope that it's an open competition between these five, six guys.
One thing you can look at, though, two of those, you know, five, six guys do still have the ability to redshirt. And so they can just say, you know what, we have too many right now. we'll have you redshirt, don't have to worry about you in the rotation, get some year under practice, and, you know, if we need you, because all these guys do get hurt, then we'll need you. But if not, then we'll just, you know, we'll keep it that easy, because these guys can't redshirt because they already have.
Yeah, so, I feel like it's almost a foregone conclusion that Henry Columbia is going to redshirt this year. It'd be foolish Evans for him too, not to. Evans, I think so as well. I don't know if they actually plan to use him as a quarterback or not, but I don't see him not redshirting.
I think the rumor I've heard is he might become like a running back or something like that, maybe some similar position. But looking at it from Matt Wells' perspective, this is a really bad hand, I think, for him.
Well, you take those two out, and you're looking at Kent Myers.
Myers, Hobbs, Damian Nelson, Hobbs, and Love.
Yeah, Nelson and Love. Now, Damian Hobbs may have a little bit of a better chance now that he's got Mr. Yost up here, a former coach, who he's pretty familiar with. I don't know, Kent Myers, obviously probably the starting man heading into camp. But we haven't really seen a ton from Love. I mean, I've heard, like, updates from camp, but who really knows about that? And then DJ, obviously the greatest place kicker and the place kicker holder, extra point holder in the nation.
Here's the thing I kind of think about, though. Even on this podcast, we've been a little bit of flack to Matt Wells, and deservedly so, I think, for the past couple of years over the football program kind of just going downhill a little bit. But that downturn, I think, coincides directly with the level of quarterback play we've gotten for the football team. You had the good years where we had, like, Chucky Keaton was amazing for a year or two. You had Kent Myers, who in his freshman year looked like a really solid answer, looked like he could have been a even dark horse Heisman contender over his final couple years, and that just never happened. Matt Wells is probably coaching for his job next year, and he's going to have to rely on one of those four. That's not a comforting feeling for him, I think. So
I'm with you.
The solution here, I think, at least if I'm the coach and I'm coaching for my job, is there's going to have to be a really, really good calling of plays, first of all, and utilization of every other player on the roster. Because I feel we've got a couple good wide receivers. There's going to be – I mean, we lost to Devontae Mays – but I think there's still a little bit of talent in the backfield.
A lot of experience.
You know, a lot of experience. Yeah. Carson Terrell, I've heard, might be able to start immediately at tight end. So, I mean, and the offensive line, hopefully, is going to be better than the past 2 years. I would hope. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of positives and potential around the rest of the team, especially on offense. And it's just the quarterback play which is going to decide pretty much whether Matt Wells stays or goes, I think, after this year. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I'm entirely with you. He's got his work cut out for him. I think Nick Saban would struggle to make this team bowl eligible when you got to start one of the guys that we're going to be starting at quarterback.
So I think first thing, and we're going to see this, I think that first game, maybe actually now the first game, because I think we might be a little bit veiled against Wisconsin because we're probably thinking, this is a loss. We don't want to spoil a lot of our plays. But I think maybe that second game, I think we're playing Southern Utah. Still might be veiled.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, so the third game, I think we play Idaho.
Same level of competition.
I don't know who we play the third game. Wake Forest, maybe. But we need to see some play calling that's more than just halfback draws and swing passes. Yeah, I think Yost is going to give us
Wake
that.
Wake Forest.
I think Yost is going to give us that, but we need to see them. I think getting whoever the quarterback is, Myers or Hobbs, would be my bet right now. Getting them outside of the pocket on the run, giving an option to run or pass, and getting it 10 yards downfield on a throw.
And every other play being a bubble screen.
Yeah. I think more than anything, that is going to decide whether Matt Wells stays or goes, is how well he's able to, along with Yost, manage a subpar quarterbacking group, because that's what we've got.
Basically, I hope that Matt Wells is playing a whole lot of Madden during this offseason and doing Ask Madden every time, so he actually has a clue of how to call plays.
I occasionally would just like do that, and Madden sucks at calling plays, so I'm not sure I'd do that either.
Right, actually. Madden,
it'd be like third and 18, he'd be like, halfback toss.
Or how about he just let the offensive coordinator do the calling? Like,
so, instead of Ask Madden, ask Yost.
True. That's also another thing. Don't want to get into this topic too much, but I think that game against Wisconsin is going to tell us a lot about how this year is going to go, is how much reign over the offense Yost is actually given in a game. If we can still see Wells' fingerprints on the offense, there, I think we're in trouble, and I think he's in trouble. If Yost has a decent amount of flexibility, maneuverability within the offense to do what he wants to do, then a bowl eligibility, I think, might be within reach.
Yep. Anyway,
it's a stretch to say.
163 days till Utah State kicks off against Wisconsin. Plenty of time for us to dissect every single itty-bitty little thing about this team.
Blue and white scrimmage is coming up.
Blue
in
and
April,
white scrimmage,
I think.
Yep, a week from Saturday, I believe. So, a chance to get out and at least see something from this Utah State team.
Time for us to get our hopes majorly up because we see Jordan Love make a beautiful play or something, some awesome play calls from the coaches and everything, and we'll be like, "Oh, this team's going to go 9-4," and nope.
Yeah, I don't know why we always have to end on football and basketball, because then I kind of leave here a little bit depressed. But
well, that's the pile of crap that's behind door number one.
I guess we'd picked the wrong door today.
Yep. Well, we opened three doors and apparently you just weren't satisfied. So rounding up here at section 119.
Stop in your head.
Door number one, pile of crap. Door number two, pile of crap. Doors 3 through 18, gold, cars, and Scarlett Johansson. There's our podcast title. Anything else you guys want to say to the wonderful singular fan that's listening to this podcast, Derek?
Stop when you're ahead, both when recording a podcast and at the blackjack table, Daniel. Trevor?
Dude, that's harsh.
You got me there. That's pretty good right there.
That's some solid life advice from the folks here at Section 119. Signing out. Go Aggies.